What's wrong with you people?
Welcome to Not Another Baptist Podcast, and Happy New Year's, Adam. Let's see, this goes live on the 29th. No, that's, yeah. Mm-mm. What comes before Adam? Happy New Year's in the beginning. Anyway, if you are a Bible teacher, then the Master of Divinity is just for you. You will not only learn how to interpret scripture, but also train for real life ministry. And if you're called to the pastorate, an MDiv ensures you are fully prepared. Southwestern Seminary even offers a wide variety of concentrations tailored to fit your calling, even if you can't really concentrate. You can choose from biblical counseling to collegiate ministry and everything in between. And you can learn more about the Master of Divinity at SWBITS at swbts.edu/MDiv. Kyle, how was your Christmas?
Man, it was good. Yeah, it was, so I wound up getting the flu like on the evening of the 23rd. Like, started running a fever. So I missed all of Christmas Eve, everything. And then stayed home while my family went and celebrated with my in-laws. And so I was home all day, Christmas Day, by myself, which was a bummer. And especially because, Matt, I had bought a murder mystery game to do with the whole family. And I was so excited because I was going to be the... like the host or whatever, the detective.
Yeah.
The host of the whole thing. I was so excited and amped up, and I didn't get to do it. I was homesick.
I'm sorry. We had a good one. We did Christmas with my family and Rebecca's family on, Saturday. And so we went to Grand Prairie and did all of that good stuff. And then we hopped and skipped and jumped over to Irving, Texas, and did Christmas with her side of the family at her sister's house. Yeah. And had a great time. Good food, really good dessert.
Yeah.
Great gifts. At this point, like on the family side, like Rebecca and I, we don't get a whole lot. You know, it's all about the kids. So yeah. Anyway, Christmas Eve, of course, we did one combined service at First Baptist Farmersville in the morning, and the attendance was okay. I was kind of surprised. I thought it would be packed, and we went early so that we could get our back row Baptist seat, and we didn't need to get there early. And then Christmas Eve night, we had our candlelight service, and it was packed. And cool. The first service at 4 p.m., which is great because it's still light outside, and so the candlelight it hits different when it's bright.
Yeah, when you can see through the stained glass windows.
Yeah, and our girls read scripture, and I thought about posting those pictures and saying, you know, great preaching this tonight at our
don't candlelight do that.
Service. Mm-hmm. But I didn't want to do that to Bart. And the second service, we didn't go to it. We were home eating tacos at that point. That wasn't as well attended. I know you were sick. Do you know how things went at your church?
From what I saw on the live stream watching it, it looked like it was good. We watched the live stream as a family of our Christmas Eve service from the house. And then the rest of my family was at church that morning. I was homesick, so I did tune in and watch the live stream that morning as well in my pajamas.
Let's see how dedicated you were to this. Did y'all have candles at your house?
No, we did not have candles at our house.
Kyle,
no.
Come on.
And we didn't have communion either. Well, I think Haley may have, I think she like had some hot Cheetos in her lap ready to go for for the communion part of it. But
I'm sure the RPW guys would love that.
Yeah. So no, we just watched along. We did not have candles, and we weren't really prepared. This kind of hit last minute.
Yeah.
I'll
tell you who's had it rough has been our friend Tyler Armstrong.
Yeah.
Ooh, man, his kids have been sick, and yep. He had a rough little holiday. So Praying for you, buddy, and your kiddos. Hope they get better. And I hope all of you that are listening to this, all dozens of you, had a wonderful holiday and are looking forward towards the new year. And before we talk about what we're going to talk about today, Kyle, you remember what the difference is between a senior pastor and a student pastor?
About $50,000.
Yeah, $40,000, $50,000. Well, the difference between New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, the difference between 2023 and 2024 is 24 hours. One day. It is changing a page on your calendar. In fact, your phone will do it automatically for you. You don't have to do anything. If you've got, you know, the old school desk calendar, you might have to rip a page. You might have to get a brand new calendar altogether. Yeah. But really, nothing is different. And so if you're listening to this on December 29th, you do have 2 days to finish your Bible reading from 2023, if your goal was to finish it before the new year. But this is still what a lot of people use as the whole new year, new me.
Yep.
Right? You set goals. Maybe you have some resolutions. I want to lose weight. I think it was Philip Nation that said he was trying to lose 25 pounds in 2023 and has 2 days to lose 30.
I've only got 35 more to go.
Yeah, 35 to go. Like, you know, well done, Philip Nation. We're right with you. But yeah, so we get that there's not really a big difference between 12/31 and 1/1, but it is a new start, a great opportunity for you to look back and to look ahead, maybe set some goals, think about what went great, what didn't go so great, all of that good stuff. And recently on the Facebooks, I made a post to that effect. And 2023, as you're listening to this, it's getting towards the rearview mirror.
Yeah, just a little bit.
It is in the rearview mirror. Right now we're like passing it. Unlike the 18-wheeler that is passing at 70.1, that's going to be a very niche joke from last week. But anyway, it is just around the corner. And we want to encourage you, challenge you maybe, to look back, look ahead, and a few things along those ways. Some of those kind of start with you, buddy. You know, me, Kyle, all of us individually, to actually ask yourself, how are you doing? All right. So how are you doing? So Kyle, let's talk through what some of that would involve. Maybe, am I spending time in the Word? Am I praying? Am I taking time to rest, recreate, all of that sort of thing? Yeah. You know, what else might we want to think about if we're talking about ourselves individually? How are we doing?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think physical health is a part of that. You know, almost everybody, I think this time of year, you know, if you're going to have like a weight loss goal or, you know, a get in shape goal or something like that, that usually hits around January 1st. It's why, you know, gym memberships are probably up, will be up in the next week or so. And gyms will probably be busier the next couple of weeks, more so than maybe any other time throughout the year, as folks really kind of hit that hard. So, you know, I mean, I think, you know, asking where am I physically? Am I where I want to be? Am I taking care of my physical body that God has given me? But then also, you know, your family. You know, am I spending time with my family? Am I investing in them like I should, like I want to? What are some steps I can take? You know, and again, you know, you're not going to lose, just like in your physical body, you're not going to lose 30 pounds in January, nor should you. And, you know, you're probably not going to, you know, solve every issue in your family in the next month, but you can begin to take some steps that will hopefully develop into a pattern so that as you're looking back at 2024, a year from now, you can say, you know, here are some steps that I took that really improved my physical health, my family health, my spiritual health, you know, whatever. And don't be afraid to start small, because those can be the first steps to some lasting change.
Yeah, remember, they are your first ministry. Yep. After all, you might be the pastor of First Baptist wherever, but your first ministry is the people in your home, your wife, your kids, if you got them. And they need to know that they are with you and a part of what you are doing, and not just left on the bench or on the sidelines. Does every member of your family feel loved and appreciated by you? Are there things you can do better? And the answer is yes. Like, even if you're doing pretty good with this, like, you can obviously improve.
And if you would look at it and say you're perfect, you're delusional and you need to see it.
So then we're going to go back and encourage you to do a study on humility. Yeah. But you need to be spending some time in the Word and prayer. Hey, if you're a guy that benefits from a reading plan, there's a number of them. Many of them have built-in grace days. So in case you do have a hectic schedule or you're going to travel for a bit and you just don't, you know, you just slack off for a moment or life gets crazy, or you have like a moment like Tyler, you know, Armstrong recently with his kids, where it's just like your hospital visits, everything else, like it's just tough. Like, don't beat yourself up over it, but just make sure that you are making time with the Father priority, time with his word and prayer, all of that kind of stuff, that you need rest, you need to work out, all of those sorts of things. And so moving on a little bit, as you look back and you're kind of assessing, how am I doing? You don't need to relive a painful season, like maybe a very difficult season in your family or your church family or something, but look back at 2023 at some of the lessons that you learned along the way of all of the roller coaster of wins and losses. Good stuff, bad stuff, the hard conversations, the difficult to navigate situations. I remember all that I learned in trying to sell our property for the Collin Baptist Association. It was a lot of work, a lot of stress, a lot of difficulty, a lot of stuff to navigate, and, you know, helped me be a better communicator, all of those sorts of things. Think through that. And that list is obviously limitless because the people that are listening are going to have 1,000 different things that happened this year. But what did you learn? What went wrong? Like, that was not the best way to do something. And even better, what went right?
Yeah.
And so think through those things honestly about all of the ups and downs of the last year. Why is that helpful, Kyle?
Well, here's the thing. If you don't take deliberate time to think through these, your brain is still going to bring them up, usually around 2 a.m., right? When you wake up and then, you know, suddenly you have that hard conversation in your brain, and 2 a.m. turns into 5 a.m. and you haven't slept in the last 3 hours because you're either kicking yourself for something you said, or you finally come up with that perfect argument that you should have thought of in the moment 4 months ago, right? So I think if you take some focus time to think through those things, that you can alleviate some stress. And you're doing it in an intentional, focused way, not, you know, at a time when you're not prepared to have that conversation with yourself. So, you know, maybe this week, next week, if you're like most churches, like, and ministries don't really seem to get rolling until kind of school's back in session. And so maybe, you know, for us, like, our kids are out the entire first week of school or first week of January. So don't be afraid to just take some time over the next week or so. And even in kind of this downtime, but to reflect on some of that as you begin to prepare. Cause I think that's preparation for the new year, you know, evaluating decisions that were good, decisions that were bad, and evaluating, you know, okay, how can I do the good things more often? How can I avoid some of the bad things in the future? But really taking intentional focus time to do that is a wonderful growth opportunity.
Yeah. Without getting into the weeds here too, you know, if you realize as you're having this kind of self-assessment that you didn't handle something very well, and maybe a conversation with a staff member, a church member, a deacon, whatever it might be, and you realize now that that's the case, and maybe that was never resolved, so it's still kind of nagging at you, this is a great time to be able to turn the page. And so if you're going to turn the page, go back to that person and just say, hey, I should have handled this better. I didn't handle it well, whatever it is, and apologize and then move on. They may not receive it, but they very well may And that might be something that's keeping them up too. And so take that time to kind of make amends, if you will. And also think kind of critically, don't beat yourself up, but think critically about your strengths and weaknesses. You know, when we go to interviews or whatever, you get that question about what's your strength, what's your weakness? I work too hard. Whatever.
I care too much.
I care too much. I pay too much attention to detail, whatever it might be. But think where you're not trying to impress anybody, but you're just being honest. Think about your strengths and your weaknesses. A simple example there is maybe you are a gifted preacher on Sunday. People would say he's anointed. You know, he's just a great expositor of the word, whatever it might be. And you, just being honest, are a great preacher. But you tend to maybe lack that pastoral touch during the rest of the week. Or maybe you just ite on Sunday. You know, it's not the best because you are great with the day-to-day ministry of the church. You're making every hospital visit there is and shut-ins, and there's no widow in your church that's going uncared for, all of that kind of stuff. So we're all going to err on maybe one of those sides. Just like with our family, there's going to be times that the family takes the back seat, time that they're a little too involved, whatever it might be. Like, nobody's going to be perfect on both.
Yeah.
But just honestly assess where you are at. And then if you realize that it's, you know, I'm way heavy on one side, maybe I need to do something, make some kind of a goal for the new year to aid that, to work on that. And that doesn't mean don't prepare for sermons anymore.
Right.
Like, and that also doesn't mean don't ever visit anybody anymore. But maybe if you realize you're on either side of that spectrum, hey, I need to be a little more intentional this year. And so I'm going to aim to make, you know, two home visits, you know, a month, you know, or just start small, something that you know you can pull off. But whatever it might be, think about where you're at, strengths, weaknesses, whatever it may be, our deadlines not getting meet, whatever. Set some goals with it and do the same thing with your church. What went well? What didn't go well? What are we doing great at? Where are we struggling? You know, every church member is going to say, our church never tells me anything. And you realize that it's on Facebook, it's on your constant contact, and you even know that they've read it because you see the read sheet and you've announced it until you're blue in the face. I mean, that's something nobody's ever going to handle great, but there's always going to be some areas where you can improve. Are there people falling through the cracks? Are shut-ins being cared for? Visitors being followed up with? Is your staff united? Are they working hard? Are they burnt out? Are they in disarray? Right? There's no such thing as a perfect church, but be honest with your assessment and aim to improve in some of those areas. Walk us through that a little bit, Kyle.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned this. No church is perfect. So no church is going to hit all of these things. And after 2020, I'm a little shy to put a whole lot of numbers behind goals, right? Like, you know, oh, we want to baptize 35 people this year. You know, that's great as long as, you know, a plague doesn't hit and shut down your church for 2 months. but, you know, you can say, you know, we want to be having, you know, we want our folks to be having gospel conversations regularly. Okay, what does that look like for your church? We want to be a church that's actively reaching young families. Okay, what does that look like in your context? And then, you know, once you figure out kind of those goals, you know, I don't think you have to keep doing what you've always done. You know, you don't have to just kind of fill in the blank on the calendar with all the stuff that you've done. Don't be afraid to think strategically through your stuff. Maybe, you know, the way that you've done VBS is not effective at this point, and you need to reevaluate what that looks like. I'm not advocating scratching it, you know, scrapping it altogether, but reevaluating things is not a bad idea ever to say, okay, what, you know, is our strategy effective? Are the things that we're doing effective, or can we make some tweaks here and there to refocus attention and energies and have, you know, maybe a better impact on our local community? And again, you know, this isn't something, you know, you might line out 10 things at the beginning of the year and say, man, these are some things that need to change. Neither one of us would advocate for implementing all 10 of those in your Vision 2024 sermon on January, what is it, 7th, I think is the first Sunday of the new year. I don't think you need to lay out here 10 changes that we're going to make in the next month, and everybody needs to be on board with that. You got to shepherd your people through that. But you can begin to help them think through some of those things as well. Because here's the thing, if something is not effective, you're probably not the only person that's seeing it, right? Mm-hmm. And so in your church, the new year is a great time just to reevaluate things. And not to, as I said earlier, not to scrap everything just for the sake of doing something new, but to really take an honest look at what you're doing, the events, the strategies, are they effective? How can we make them more effective in a new year?
Yeah. Yeah. As you were talking about, like, being leery of setting metric goals at the new year, I started thinking, what if there was that pastor that was like, you know what, in the new year, we're going to start live streaming our services. And then COVID hit, and he's a dadgum genius.
Yeah, like, that's true. That's true.
He was a prophet. No, I don't know why I thought of that. That's anyway. But as you reflect on these things, I journal. I don't know, if, Kyle, do you journal at all?
I'm not really a journaler. I've tried a couple of times through the years and just had never been able to get it going.
Some people are, some people aren't. Don't do it if it's like pulling teeth. I'm not, but it is helpful to maybe sketch some of these things out. Journal it out when it's fresh on your mind, all that kind of stuff, and be honest, brutally honest. This is something between you and God. Yeah. Take what went well, your strengths, what you learned, what's not going so well, all of those kinds of things.
And at the same time, I would say, don't do that in a vacuum. Don't do that by yourself. Bring some other people into that process to help you evaluate, because there may be something that you thought was just an absolute abysmal failure. And somebody else has a different perspective on it and says, you know what, that wasn't as bad as you think it was. And here's why.
Kyle wants you to bring the chairman of the personnel committee into this process.
Yeah, and tell them all the ways that you failed last year.
But no.
But you should do that after the budget is set so that you get your raise.
Sure, you get the raise already. Then do this. But take your what went well, your strengths, what you learned, and then set some goals that will emphasize these things and to play off of some of these things.
Yeah.
And then maybe take what didn't, your weaknesses and all of that, and maybe set some goals for 2024 that can help improve those things. Maybe it is going in, what do you call it, auditing a course or two at, you know, Southwestern or one of our seminaries or local college. You know, if you're realizing that administration is a struggle, one of the best classes that I ever took was at Dallas Baptist University on church administration. And it was amazing how literally every day that we went to class, there was something that I went home and put into practice.
Yeah. And if that's not a reality, I mean, if that's just, you know, not, you know, you don't have the ability to go to a class like that locally, man, there are tons of books out there that could be a great help. And I'll tell you what will make that even better. Reading it by yourself is good. If you can get another pastor or your AMS or something like that and go through that book together, that will bring even more dividends into your life if you have some accountability in there.
Well, Kyle talked about not doing this in a vacuum, but my final encouragement is once you've sketched out this stuff, even if it's on a post-it note of your goals, whatever it might be, then, and probably, not probably, definitely most important, give it to God.
Yeah.
And not to like Jesus juke it, but, you know, praying something like, Father, this is what I see. Like, this is what I think is important, but that's not the most important. I want what you see. I want what you want for me. I want to do what you want me to do. And so this might be my list, but I want your list. You know, take that to him and be ready to hold that list with an open hand, because hashtag COVID-19, you know, like something else might come and change everything. But, you know, pastor, church leader, pray big prayers, believe big things, and trust an unknown future into the far more capable hands of the one who holds it. We hope that you had a great 2023. And if you didn't, we're here for you. We hope that you that didn't have a great 2023 will see a much better 2024. But if you don't, God is still faithful. God is still using and working in and through you as you preach the word, as you love on your people, as you lead your family. And so we are here to encourage you. for that. Kyle, any final words before we send it out?
No, that's good. You mentioned, you know, we are here to help, to support. We want to do that in any way we can. So don't be afraid to reach out to us.
All right. Well, until next time. Until next year. That's a missed opportunity. Until next year, may your coffee be as black as night and as bold as Kyle's prediction that the Rangers are going to two-peat the World Series.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
What's wrong with you people?